The views expressed on ExoPolitics Radio with Alfred Weber are those of Alfred Weber and not specifically those of 1480 KPHX or our sponsors.
I think that you're probably the most dangerous thing I've heard on the radio in a long time.
Welcome back. This is ExoPolitics Radio. Our audio archives are at www.exopoliticsradio.com, and there are people from all over the world coming to listen to them. This is our second program in Season 2, and I'm your host, Alfred Weber, and we continue to get email from our listeners and comments. And today, in this program, we're actually going to read one of the comments over the air because it relates directly to our program. Today, we're going to play part two of an interview with our ExoPolitics Radio commentator, Stephen Bassett, on the ET ticket, the U.S. presidential ET ticket. And so if you want to send an email or a comment to ExoPolitics Radio or to the host, just go to our website, exopoliticsradio.com, and you can click on there and send us an email, or you can always send it to exopolitics@exopolitics.com. Well, in this growing network, since ExoPolitics Radio has launched, we now have sister sites, actually sister radio, ExoPolitics Radio sites that are launching around the world. Of course, we have the two mother sites of ExoPolitics. ExoPolitics is the new political science of outer space, and it's the science of relations between our human civilization and other intelligent civilizations in the universe. And our website, exopolitics.com, was first launched in the year 2000. That's when the ExoPolitics model was developed and was first published into our fair planet. And then that was followed by another mother website, that of Dr. Michael Sala, www.exopolitics.org. And now, from our cousins in Europe, we have news from Denmark that Frederik Uldal has launched an ExoPolitics site, and I'll read that at www.exopolitics.dk. That's DK for Denmark, www.exopolitics.dk. And in Germany, Rob Corey has launched www.exopolitik. That's exopolitik.de. And in the UK, we have our UK site there, which is steered by the very able David Griffin, and that's at www.exopolitics.org.uk, which was launched in the year 2006, and David and ExoPolitics UK is now conducting an outreach to the UK, to the British Parliament, on ExoPolitics issues. And of course, we have in Italy Paola Harris's site, exopolitics.it, for Italy. And then to round this all up, Stephen Bassett, our ExoPolitics commentator, has an ExoPolitics World site with URLs for all over the world. Some of them have not yet been occupied, so you may want to look at that if you're in different parts of the world. He'll vet you, of course, to make sure that you're on the up and up. And it's www.exopoliticsworld.net. But you can always stay tuned here at www.exopoliticsradio.com, which is your cosmic trigger radio central and ground of being in all things in, shall we call it, ExoPolitics truth. We do not hide things. We do not varnish the truth. We bring you people who, yes, they have memories of having been, quote, abducted by extraterrestrial entities, like Jim Sparks, over the course of 18 years. There are different species of extraterrestrials, some of them the small grays, who have been in secret human extraterrestrial liaisons with the U.S. government for the past 60 years or so. And it's a very complex situation, and we'll be discussing that over in the coming weeks, because that has had an impact on why our constitutional government and our permanent war economy on this planet is in the state that it is. And we have a concept that Exopolitics Radio will have a crucial role in untying this Gordian knot. So what we're going to do is we're going to read as commentary. This is kind of our first venture here on Exopolitics Radio into what we can call networking. And we've networked over to Europe, and now we're going to network back to North America, I assume, although an email could come from everywhere, because our fair listener does not say where she or he comes from, but that's fine. This is an email that we received on August 8th, 2007, and it's entitled, Listen to First Show of Season 2, A Serious Question. As you may recall, the first show of Season 2 was with Stephen Bassett, our Exopolitics Radio commentator on the Dream ET ticket, which, Mr. Bassett, it's, listen, under the First Amendment, it's protected. No matter what the neocons wish to do, the First Amendment is still protected on this planet. And his position is that Hillary Clinton and Bill Richardson, the governor of New Mexico, would be the best ticket for ET disclosure because both of them have a positive predisposition toward ET disclosure and have been briefed on it. And so we're going to read this email from a very thoughtful listener. Amazing show, and have listened to every show of season one. I was just wondering your opinion of Steve Bassett's recommendations of Hillary Clinton as the, quote, ET candidate. There seems to be much speculation and much evidence as well that Mrs. Clinton is a Bilderberg meeting attender, as well as in the pocket of the New World Order, NWO. This has been discussed by the likes of Alex Jones at InfoWars. Mr. Jones is a radio talk show host and investigative journalist, and other radio hosts and citizens aimed at exposing the truth. In a world where information is coming to a head, and where this information is leading a society to, quote, not trust, end of quote, any politician or candidate, what sets Mrs. Clinton apart in the eyes of Steve Bassett? The only politician I would even dare trust is Dr. Ron Paul, and only because 30 years of congressional service has forged his record. I would like to believe in Hillary Clinton, but there seems to be much evidence showing her to be another problem and not the solution we need to move our society forward. I hope I am wrong. Still, we must be cautious as a society. If the dark is really dying and the light is to come forward, the dark will try any trick possible to cling to their power, including the infiltration of the exopolitical arena to roost the public once again into bad choices and false information. I really hope that Steve Bassett is one of the good guys and is not being roosted himself. Still, any battle between good and evil will end with good winning. So I pray that those involved into moving us into the next paradigm are doing so with the most humble and clearest of intentions. Thank you very much. And this is from a listener of Exopolitics Radio. Well, clearly this listener, along with her all, are among those, quote, involved in moving us into the next paradigm, and seems to have the most humble and clearest of intentions. So the listener asked for my opinion, which I guess I may have given in my questioning, but certainly comes up in this part too. And so rather than preempt myself, I would invite you very carefully to listen to our interview with Stephen Bassett on part two of the Dream ET ticket. Our position is, of course, that no presidential candidate to date has come forth explicitly with a position on the extraterrestrial presence. And it's likely the extraterrestrial presence with its new energy alternatives that is going to lead us to a positive future. And that is with the track record of Jimmy Carter, the original Jimmy Carter, not a clone Jimmy Carter, if that is in fact true, won and ran in the 1976 U.S. presidential campaign on an open ET UFO platform. The latter day Jimmy Carter, in the past few years, there are some rumors on the internet that that's a Jimmy Carter clone. It's not a real Jimmy Carter. Well, I can't, you know, evaluate those claims, but certainly he shifted his position from 1976. And so that was a winning presidential strategy then, and would be, I believe, a winning presidential strategy now. As to Mrs. Clinton being ideal, I just want to state that the Nordic extraterrestrials who reportedly met with U.S. President Dwight D. Eisenhower on the night of February 20th, 1954, were very clear in requesting that the U.S. abolish its nuclear weapons program. Mrs. Clinton was equally clear in placing the nuclear option on the table in every presidential decision, i.e. she stated she would not hesitate to use nuclear weapons in certain positions. This is a very belligerent position and is antithetical to the advanced ethical extraterrestrial position. And as you will learn in this upcoming segment, both Mrs. Clinton and Governor Bill Richardson, Governor Bill Richardson in his mid-20s, was reportedly an employee in a secret CIA, a top-secret human extraterrestrial liaison program. And Mrs. Clinton, who had been identified by time travel teleportation technology as the future wife of a future U.S. president, was the subject, was a subject and a person of interest of that program. So we can call them the two time travel candidates also. So I sort of share the reader's questions, and I support the reader's trust in Dr. Ron Paul insofar as Dr. Ron Paul came out a number of weeks ago on the Alex Jones show stating that he was concerned that a false flag operation would be triggered in the U.S. by a secret black budget military intelligence in order to trigger a state of martial law or military governance. Incidentally, if you go to the front, to the website of the San Francisco Bayview newspaper, you'll see my article there. It's a leading African-American newspaper in the United States, and you'll see an article of mine on the possible coming of martial law in the United States. So this is a very, very busy episode of Exopolitics Radio, as usual. These are very busy times. The universe is making tremendous demands on us, and we must make tremendous demands on our own perception and discernment. Thank you very much for joining us. All good wishes and Godspeed to you. If your intent is good, we shall succeed. This is Alfred Weber. This is Exopolitics Radio. Please stay tuned. Thank you. This is your host, Alfred Weber. Would you like to download instantly the book Exopolitics by Alfred Weber that founded the field of exopolitics and was a cosmic trigger to a paradigm shift of opening to extraterrestrial civilizations? Would you like to download a CD-ROM of Exopolitics Radio Season 1 uncut version with interviews you have not heard on air? You can do so now by going right now to our website, website, www.exopoliticsradio.com, and downloading. There is no shipping. There is no waiting. Downloading the book, Exopolitics, Politics, Government, and Law in the Universe by Alfred Weber, and the CD-ROM, Exopolitics Radio Season 1, Uncut Version. You'll be helping yourself, Exopolitics, and Exopolitics Radio into Season 2. Thank you. This is Exopolitics Radio, KPHX Phoenix, 1480 AM, Nova M Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. And once again, we're with Stephen Bassett, who's our special political commentator and exopolitical commentator in Washington, D.C. Stephen is the executive director of EXPAC, the Extraterrestrial Phenomenon Political Action Committee, and the only registered lobbyist with the U.S. Congress on behalf of the extraterrestrial activist research community. His work has been referenced in numerous mainstream publications, including the Washington Post and the Washington Times. And he was a candidate in 2004 for the U.S. Congress in Maryland on an exopolitics platform. Welcome back, Stephen.
Thank you, Alfred. Good to be back with you.
You know, just as we had to break off last program because of time, we were talking about the issue of a possible false flag operation in the whole mix of extraterrestrial disclosure. And the concept of a false flag operation is that somehow there would be a technology that would fake an alien invasion, or would fake an ET attack, and would thereby justify more space weapons, or would thereby justify some martial law or some fear-based scenario. And several authorities have spoken about this, ranging from Dr. Wernher von Braun to Paul Hellyer, the former Minister of Defense of Canada, mentioned that his research showed that the U.S. Space Command may be planning space-based weapons, not against terrestrial targets, but against extraterrestrial targets. And I wondered if you could comment on this, because this is part of the equation that presidential candidates would have to comment on, and part of the disclosure equation.
Okay. The fundamental level for the political engagement right now is simply disclosure, the fundamental disclosure event, and that is the acknowledgement of the ET presence. In other words, there's an ET presence here. We may not be able to tell you much more than that, but there's an ET presence. It's true. Yes, we do. National security reasons, we didn't confirm it to you. It's been 60 years. Now we're telling you. That's the key political issue at large. All right, fine. As you move past that, well, there's a whole bunch of possibilities that are worth consideration. And one of them is the false flag possibility, and it's worth considering. I don't get too carried away about it, but here's why it's non-trivial. False flag operations and false flag events, which is defined as essentially a contrived event staged by a government to look like another entity, third party, is in fact conducting it in order to justify draconian actions of some form or another. Sometimes false flag events are created within a country so that one faction within that country gets blamed for something they didn't do in order to launch an internal action. They are absolutely as insidious and immoral as anything a government or any formal organization could ever do, and they have a long, long history. In our own time, certainly in the last 100 years or so, there have been a number of events which have either almost certainly been false flag events or rumored to be, or partial, what we'll call contrived events, such as the rumors regarding Pearl Harbor, where it was thought that perhaps we knew something was coming and let it happen in order to justify entering the war. There was also rumors about the Maine, that we might have blown it up on our side to justify the Spanish-American War, not one of our finest hours. There were rumors that the Nazis set the Reichstag fire. There were a number of potential false flag events that occurred during the early days of the Soviet Union. There was probably well-established understanding regarding the Gulf of Tonkin, that it was somewhat contrived and used to justify escalating the Vietnam War. There are false flag allegations surrounding 9-1-1. But everyone knows, and let's even go back to the time of Nero. It's been alleged in history that some of Nero's operatives set the fires in order to justify attacks on the Christians and other things that Nero wanted to get away with. This is serious stuff, and I think no one doubts that it hasn't happened in history. So one of the issues that's been raised regarding the extraterrestrial issue is, what if a maneuver like that was made? And in one respect, it's very interesting and enticing, because if you think about it, when the blowing up of the Maine early in the 20th century was a false flag event. This is before the internet, before cable news, before any news, really. And so they could do that, and there's not a chance in hell that the general public is ever going to figure out what happened, and so they're gonna get whatever result they want. And this is true of almost any time in history, but now we're in the 21st century. You try to pull an event like that now, and you've got 100,000 bloggers and 10,000 websites and 3 cable news channels and everybody else, and there's a whole lot of people that might start picking the whole thing apart, and the next thing you know, it falls apart, blows up in your face. So, but let's look at the ET issue. What's interesting about that is this. If we have re-engineered ET-like craft with anti-gravitic-type systems in them, so in other words, we have our own saucers, and there is evidence for that. I don't think it's been proven beyond a reasonable doubt, but there is certainly evidence that we have created our own versions of these craft, which have also not been acknowledged. The government won't acknowledge the ET present, and they certainly won't acknowledge that we have anti-gravitic, systems. And so that a, quote, government version of an ET saucer suddenly turns up over a city, like Washington or whatever, fires a particle beam weapon, and takes out a significant landmark in the view of everybody, including CNN, that would be a pretty dramatic event. And it would be extremely easy to the government to say, wow, an extraterrestrials are here, and they just blew up the White House or something. And it would be a clean thing. I mean, most people would go, wow, well, that can't be one of ours. We don't have that kind of technology. Must be an extraterrestrial, and they just blew up the White House, and it's jihad, against the Ebens, against the ETs. It would seem so simple to do, maybe even tempting on the part of the lunatic fringe militarists that probably still have a few hanging around inside our secret empire. So it would be foolish to completely dispel that prospect, and I wouldn't invite anybody to do that. Do I think it's likely to happen? No. I'd say the odds are against it. Do I think it's possible? Yes. And what do I think would happen if something took place? Well, I'll tell you this. I think we're far enough along now that if an event like that took place, there would be a host of people on the internet who would take that event and pick it to pieces and look for anything and everything that would undermine the government's assertion about what happened, exactly like in 9-1-1. The ET issue is very well advanced. Anybody that doesn't know that is simply uninformed. There have been thousands of books and papers and references. There are thousands of websites. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of documentaries. Millions and millions and tens of millions of people have a significant base knowledge about this issue. And so if a saucer turns up and blows up the White House, I can assure you it's going to be looked at really closely. And I think there's a decent prospect that if it, in fact it's a false flag event in order to concoct a $1 trillion war against the enemies from outer space, a la the Ronald Reagan scenario, that it might fall apart. Not to mention the fact that it would be such an egregious act. Reichstag fire aside, Gulf of Tonkin aside, the flying of a government saucer over one of our cities and blowing up something in order to justify a false war against extraterrestrials would be easily the single most evil, despicable, immoral act in the history of governance since humans have been governed. It would top everything. Worse, in my opinion, than the Holocaust. So I think there'd be a lot of people in government that would be so sickened, who would learn about this, that would be so sickened they'd blow the whistle. So I don't want to get people hyperventilated about that kind of action. There is a whole host of mendacities which are ongoing and will continue, which we need to be more worried about. Mundane, a little more mundane, but nevertheless dangerous. And, of course, the embargo itself is fundamentally an extraordinary 60-year mendacity. So I think I want to keep people's focus on more the basics. Let's minimize these fundamental mendacities and try to get more open and transparent government. The rest will take care of itself.
We'll be right back with our guest, Stephen Bassett, on Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. This is Exopolitics Radio, KPHX Phoenix, 1480 AM, Nova M Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. And once again, we're with Stephen Bassett. You know, going back to last week, in our last program, we played your YouTube question to the Democratic presidential debate.
Now resubmitted for the Republican debate.
Yeah. And we asked you to give what you thought the answers that each of Hillary Clinton and Bill Richardson, possibly the leading contenders for, quote, the e-ticket, would give. And we simply ran out of time, so you didn't have a chance to give that. Could you give the answer that Hillary Clinton would give and that Bill Richardson would give? Put yourself in their shoes right now. And they have just been played the Steve Bassett expat question on the giant screen. Hillary first, and then Bill.
Well, let's back up here. First of all, The question was essentially, as President of the United States, would you demand a full and open hearing would you demand a full proper briefing from the military and civilian intelligence agencies? And not accept you don't have a right to know or need to know. And would you call for congressional hearings to take testimony from the scores of witnesses that have something pretty relevant to say about this issue in Congress? Yeah, that's the first thing. Second thing, and that question is up on the website. You go to paradigmresearchgroup.org and go to the PRG site or the XPAC site, and it's right there. You can click it, and you can watch it. It's at YouTube. It's in my YouTube account, and it's up there, and it's already been submitted. And if you go to the CNN debate section, you'll find it, you know, parked with the rest of the ads that have been submitted. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing, ET ticket. The article is on my website. You go to paradigmresearchgroup.org and go to the PRG site, which is the big one, the main one, and you can click and read that article. It's also in UFO Magazine and Fate Magazine, I think right now, and it's at AmericanChronicle.com. So you read that. Okay, that's your background. Now, the fact is, I can't say what they would say. I don't know. You'd have to ask them. But I will tell you what the options are for any of the candidates, and that includes the Republican candidates that may get asked this question. If enough people will go to my site and click on the CNN link, that immediately gives them a response page where they can email the CNN right away, and enough people go on that site and say, look, we want that question asked, it may get asked. In which case, the 10 Republicans or 9 Republicans are going to be up on the stage that night are going to have to answer this question. There are only a few options, right, that they have. Here's one, right? The total laugh it off response, meaning, what a silly, ridiculous thing, ha, 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 you know, this person obviously is, smoking pot, or whatever. That's one possibility. If they give that kind of response, I predict they'll get several hundred thousand nasty emails. The second response is the I know nothing response. You know, Schultz, Sergeant Schultz from that show, Hogan, was it Hogan's Heroes? I know nothing. Meaning, I don't know anything about ETs. I have no idea about this UFO thing. I know nothing, right? They could do that, and I guarantee that will not go well for them. They'll get a lot of bad emails about that. The third response would be the standard government issue, meaning, my understanding is the government does not consider this a valid issue, does not investigate this issue, and imposes no threat. That's the standard response, the non-denial, which is basically saying to the people, well, you know, the military and the intelligence, particularly the intelligence community, said there's nothing to this, and of course I believe whatever they say. Well, in the context of the last 7 or 8 years, for any candidate to the president to say that would be a big mistake. And it would be politically disastrous for them. So that's the situation with respect to that response, which just goes to the fourth option. The fourth option would be that there's clearly interest in this issue by the American people. There's a lot of dissatisfaction over the government's position, and I believe it's worth reconsidering. I might consider calling for congressional hearings. I would certainly want to be briefed on it. If there's valid information about this within the military and the intelligence, I would expect to be told. That's the proper response. And any one of those four, and in fact, if all eight or nine candidates on the stage were given a chance to respond, we'd probably see all four versions from different people. And there is a fifth level that they could go to, and of course this is where things get really extraordinary. And that would be for a candidate. And I think the best chance of that would have been from Bill Richardson had the question been asked in the Democratic debate, and CNN saw fit not to consider it important enough to ask. The Republican, I don't know if we have anybody that would do that except possibly John McCain, who not only is a maverick, but he's a straight talker. Remember the Straight Talk Express? And he has done a few things, said a few things, particularly back in the 90s regarding the NASA, what I would call shenanigans and the Mars issues and so forth, that makes me think that he has got a little concern there about the veracity and mendacity of our government with respect to these issues. But overall, I don't know if a Republican would go this far, but the ultimate response is number five. And that's somebody to say, yeah, look, I think there is something to this. I think it has not been explained. I think there may be substance here. And I think that any president of the United States needs to get to the bottom of it. The Congress should be involved. And we will get to the truth. We will get that truth to the American people. The person that makes that response will get hundreds of thousands of emails and faxes, all positive, running probably 95-5. May not win the presidency, but will make history. Do I think any candidate would have done that? I think the only person that might have done that would have been Richardson. Now, he'll get another chance. I mean, this question could get asked. You know, the question's there. It's up on the YouTube. It's up on my website. And it's going to get spread around by the Republican. You know, we're still 16 months away from the election. This question may very well get asked. So they're going to have a chance to answer it in one form or another. So there we are. My job is to help ensure that happens. And Kucinich is another possibility. Kucinich, if he would get off this problem he has with, he needs to decide whether he wants to be a standard spun candidate or whether he really wants to take off the blinders, the delimiters that he's working with and really get down. He tries to be very candid and outspoken on certain things, particularly the war and peace. But he's still hedging his bets. We know that Kucinich is aware of the ET reality. We know he's been briefed on it. We suspect he has some competent and appropriate positions. But he keeps thinking that he still has this sense that somehow if he plays his cards right, he might somehow slip into a contender position. I don't think he has a 1 in 10,000 chance of being president or vice president, but he has a chance to make some history. And he could have done this last time. He could have done it in 2004, didn't do it. Dennis Kucinich needs to decide what his role in history is. And as I've said to a number of people, the space weapons issue is serious. And it's been moving forward virtually unopposed by anybody, anywhere. I won't say that. It's opposed, but it's been moving forward with virtually no significant effective resistance for some time. In other words, they're just doing whatever they want, and we don't know what's going on there. And Kucinich is on that issue, and that's fine. But again, he's Kucinich, right? He didn't have a lot of support behind him, particularly in the House. So my feeling is that the chances of the space weapons issue being truly addressed is not good unless disclosure takes place. If disclosure takes place and the ET presence is acknowledged, I think the weapons issue in space will immediately become a major issue and viewed from all directions. But until then, I don't think it's got traction. So Kucinich has a decision to make, and I've publicly said this a number of times. He has a chance to go down in history. If he doesn't do this, look, anybody can be against war. Of course we're against war. Standing up there and saying that war is awful and peace is better is not exactly what I would call an extraordinary act of courage. I'm sorry. He's a spiritual man, fine. But a lot of those candidates say they're spiritual. You want to make history, you've really got to go where others truly fear to go. And it's easy to identify that place. The ET issue. Dennis needs to decide whether he wants to make history or he wants to be just another blip on the screen. And that's my message to him. And I'd be happy to talk to him personally about it if he took the time to call me.
Right. Before moving on to some of the other candidates, I'd just like to stay with the, quote, ET ticket of Hillary Clinton and Bill Richardson for a moment, because I've come by some information that might account for why, for example, Bill Richardson has felt comfortable as governor to write that forward to the book on Roswell.
Well, we mentioned that last week, but we haven't mentioned it in this show. The foreword was to the Roswell Dig Diary.
Yes.
And the quote, the exact quote is on my website in the quotes directory at paradigmresearchgroup.org. Find the quotes directory or right. Get the foreword to the book. And he made it clear. He said that the explanation for Roswell is not satisfactory. It hasn't been explained yet, which is, of course, completely counter to the government's position, and that we need to get to the bottom of it. And it would be best if we knew the truth, whatever it is.
Right.
And he said that. He said that. He wrote that not as simply a governor of New Mexico. He knew full well he was going to run for president when he wrote it.
Right.
And he knew that he was in play as a national figure. And so this was an extraordinary move on his part.
Yeah.
And it needs to be more closely examined. He needs to be questioned about it. And so far, he's not being questioned at all about it, not even his enemies.
Exactly. He says, quote, "The mystery surrounding this crash at Roswell has never been adequately explained, not by independent investigators and not by the U.S. government. It would help everyone if the U.S. government disclosed everything it knows with full disclosure and our best scientific investigation. We should be able to find out what happened on that fateful day in July of 1947. The American people can handle the truth, no matter how bizarre or mundane and contrary to what you see in the movies."
Now listen to this. Listen to this. Let's correspond that with quotes from John Podesta, also a major figure in the Democratic Party, former chief of staff to Bill Clinton and national security advisor to him and major aide. This is what he said at two press conferences, the National Press Club in 2002-2003. Compare this to what Richardson said. John Podesta, "I think it's time to open the books on questions that have remained in the dark on the question of government investigations of UFOs. We ought to do it because the American people, quite frankly, can handle the truth, and we ought to do it because it's the law." Then he goes on to say, "It is time for the government to declassify records that are more than 25 years old, and which would mean everything up to 1982, and to provide scientists with data that will assist in determining the real nature of the phenomenon." Now, it's very interesting to note, and I defy anybody to prove otherwise, that John Podesta and Bill Richardson have never been attacked by anybody, right, about those statements, including the entire attack regiments of the Republican Party, going into one of the most nasty and contested elections in years.
Yeah, and so one of the whistleblowers that I have been working with for a number of years has indicated that Bill Richardson, as a 25 or 26-year-old young man, was in fact an employee of a top-secret CIA extraterrestrial human liaison program, and so has been fully cognizant for years, not only of the existence of ETs, but in fact was an officer and an employee on such a program.
Well, if he can prove that, I would very much like him to contact me and consider coming to the X conference and presenting to my audience on that.
Yeah. And secondly, that part of the technology which may have been transferred or developed under this program includes time travel teleportation technology, i.e., the ability to access other points in the time-space continuum via technology, to go forwards in time and backwards in time. And once one accepts that time is a dimension like space, then that becomes something that does not boggle the mind. And this has been underscored by one of our previous guests on this program, a very remarkable extraterrestrial contactee named Jim Sparks, who has 18 years of memories of having been aboard ET craft and undergone educational programs, but also having been in and on site at U.S. military bases where there was such ET, such time travel teleportation technology. And you know, so we have something of possible independent verification of these top secret U.S. government extraterrestrial human things. And now, to get to the punchline, one of the contentions is that in this program in which Bill Richardson was employed, one of the functions of the time travel technology was to scout the future for future presidents. And that, in fact, the future had been scouted, and it was determined that Bill Clinton was scouted and was identified as a future U.S. president. And, of course, he and his wife were picked up by the time travel technology. So that if Hillary and Bill come back as Hillary and Bill, not as Bill and Hillary, in 2008, they, in effect, will be something of a CIA ET team, if you get my drift. And I realize that you don't have any verification of this, Steve, but I just wanted to bring it to your attention for any comment you might want to make.
Well, I'll make a comment. Let me be real clear about this, that I don't have much confidence at all in reports about time travel and teleportation and a number of other things. And here's why. Look, when you're talking about the ET presence, which is not a particularly complicated idea, right? It's about as complicated as, you know, are there any French tourists visit the United States, you know, visiting the Capitol today? Are there any French people down there at the Capitol, you know, taking a tour? Well, go find out. Hello, are you from France? Yes, I am from Paris. Very good. ET, so hear that out here. We have tens and tens of thousands of contactee reports about interactions with these entities, right? So I think just on that basis alone, not to mention the rest of the research, there's non-terrestrial entities that are here, lockstep. Now, when you talk about reports about time travel and teleportation, you're talking about, in terms of accounts that have even modest substance, you can probably count them on the fingers of both hands or one hand. So we're talking about a far, far less amalgamation of evidence and reports.
Well, no. All you have to do is to reframe all space travel as time travel.
Look, that's not the point.
Yeah.
Right, we don't want to argue the physics of time travel, right? Yeah. I'm simply saying that the quote, first-hand evidence for teleportation or time travel is minuscule compared to the evidence for the ET presence itself. And so I simply don't put a lot of stake in it. Now, I know enough about science, right? And remember, I'm somebody that completely accepts the ET presence and is fully confident that they're capable of traveling huge distances because they have technology beyond ours in terms of traveling through space. So when I say that I have great misgivings about time travel and teleportation, this is not coming from some close-minded, unscientifically educated person or scientifically educated person. I don't have much confidence in it. There are a whole bunch of reasons for that. So that's my statement about that. So I don't need to go there, right? You know, the idea of looking into the future and people are going to, you know, design to be president. No, don't need to go there. The ET ticket, as far as I'm concerned, is based upon well-established historical information regarding statements by and actions by both Bill Richardson and Hillary Clinton and her husband, Bill Clinton. I don't have to go into the future. I don't have to teleport anywhere to discuss that because we've got the documents to confirm this. And that's where I want to keep things focused. The exotic and extraordinary, what we'll call, edge issues like that are fun and stimulating, but they are of not much consequences to the current political realities. And I try to avoid going there because we don't need to go there, right? We don't need to go there.
It's just that from an exotic technology point of view, advanced spacecraft, in order to get from one end of the universe to the other, within one's lifetime, it amounts to time travel.
I'm not so sure about that. Let's just say that is problematic. I have no doubt that it wouldn't surprise me if advanced space travel does involve the manipulation of space and time. That is there's a huge distance between manipulating space and time in a propulsion system and being able to go into the future and see anything. A big difference. Look, there's a lot of amateur science out there.
Okay.
It turns up,
Steve,
all over the place.
We're going to have to ask you back for a third program because we've
well,
run
of
out of time. Well, thank you.
Why do you think I string everything out? I'm trying to get the maximum mic time I can get. You know me.
This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Thank you.
I'm so afraid.
I need to lose weight. I wish I could stop smoking.
I have so much stress.
I'm in pain.
Why am I sad?
I need to perform better.
I feel like there's no way out.
If you or someone you know needs help making healthy and significant life changes, they may benefit from hypnotherapy and life coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rebecca Hardcastle. Hypnosis uses the power of the subconscious mind for recovery and health. It strengthens your natural psychic abilities. As hypnotherapy removes blocks and clarifies your inner knowledge, it allows you to move forward. Coaching offers a practical framework which strengthens the life changes you desire.
To find out more regarding hypnotherapy, life coaching, exoconsciousness, and how to achieve an integrated, peaceful, healthy, and harmonious state of being, call Dr. Rebecca Hardcastle at 602-615-1485. That's 602-615-1485. Or log on to www.rebeccahardcastle.com.
Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Well, I think that what we've done today is to do what's necessary, and that is to begin to open up here on Exopolitics Radio the 2008 electoral process. And we encourage you in the Exopolitics Radio community to come to exopoliticsradio.com and send us a message about the 2008 election and other issues. You know, they can be issues about, is there a false flag operation coming and how we can strengthen the body politic. So you can email us at www.exopoliticsradio.com. Just come to the website. There's a place there and you can do that, or email us at exopolitics@exopolitics.com. Exopolitics Radio is produced by Phoenix Productions. Executive producer Richard Romero. Director RV Romero. Producer and editor Chris Romero. I'm your host, Alfred Weber, ever elusive, wishing you a wonderful, miracle-filled, and always networking day, week, and life. Thank you.